There's only one person, and we know who that has to be. It is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? He's going to rule. So despite all of the devil's efforts, okay, Israel still gave birth to the Son of God, the Savior of the world.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in. Pastor Bill continues his study of Revelation today with the message, War in Heaven. Now, if you happen to be following along in your Bibles, today's study is from chapter 12. Now, let's join Pastor.
You know, as we return back into the book of Revelation, remember Revelation, that word, actually apocalypse, means unveiling or uncovering. And what we are unveiling, who we are unveiling, is Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're seeing him in the book of Revelation like no other place in the gospel. He is indeed the King of Kings, amen, and the Lord of Lords, and he is coming back for us one day. With all that being said, this is the only book in the Bible that promises us in chapter 1, verse 3, that if you hear this word or if you read the book, God says you are a blessed people. So whatever job I do this morning, you're going to be blessed because you're hearing the words of this book. Amen? And not only that, we have that divine outline in chapter 1, verse 19, which is the chapter 1, the things that are, chapter 2 and 3, the seven churches. And then now when we move, we're into things future, okay? Now, with all that being said, remember way back, I think it what, when chapter 10, a divine pause occurred, okay? And then in chapter 11, verse 15, I believe, the seventh trumpet sounded, and the pause now continued. We don't get over into the last judgments, the seven bowl judgments, until what, the end of 15, I believe, or maybe the beginning of 16. And so with all of that being said, in chapter 11, we saw the rebuilt temple on earth. We saw the two witnesses. We saw their death, their resurrection, and their ascension. Now, with all that being said, chapter 11, of course, brought us to the midpoint in the seven-year tribulation period. We now begin the last 3.5 years of the 70th week of Daniel, if you will. Now, with all of that being said, in chapter 12 and in chapter 13, something happens. With the sounding of the seventh trumpet over in chapter 11, with this pause, we are now introduced to seven personages, okay? And let me just tell you who they are. They're going to be a woman, a dragon, a male child, Michael, and a remnant. And also, when we get to chapter 13, there's going to be the beast from the sea and the beast from the earth. Now, there are four great things that are mentioned in our study this morning. They are, number one, a great sign, a great red dragon, a great eagle, a great wrath. So chapter 12 now does something. It opens with the first of the seven signs that are in the last half of the book of Revelation, beginning in 12:1 all the way chapter 19, verse 20. So you have three signs that are in heaven, and you have four signs that are upon this earth. Now listen carefully. A sign is a symbol that points to a reality. Amen? Now let me say it again. A sign is only a symbol. It points, though, to a reality. For example, out front, there's a sign that says Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth. But Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth is not the sign, is it? No, that's a symbol of the reality, and the reality is you and me, us. Amen? A place where love never fails. Now, so it's very important that we see that. Now, this morning, we're going to look at war in heaven, if you will. And beginning in verse 1, it says, "And now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars." So we open with the first sign, and it's a woman. We all have to come to who is the woman, for example. And I can tell you right now, your interpretation, those that are listening on the radio, those that are listening live, those that are in the chapel, your interpretation of the woman will determine your view of Bible prophecy. Very important. So these personages that we are studying, we need to know who they are. We need to do the best we can to determine that. Now, if you study out history and so forth, or other commentaries, you'll know that Mary Baker Eddy, she claimed to be the woman, and she, of course, is the founder of Christian Science. The Roman Catholic Church, they believe the woman is the Virgin Mary. And believe it or not, many Protestant churches, the majority actually, they believe that the woman is the church of all ages. Well, if that view is correct, that means that the church, we're going to go through the Great Tribulation period. But we're not post-trib, we are pre-trib. Matter of fact, I've already taught, we're already in heaven, amen? Okay, now, so, but here's what we have to look at. The woman has on clothing. It's really beautiful if you look at it. Now, the garland on her head, in the Greek, that's stephanos, meaning the victor's crown. It's not a diadem, it's the victor's crown. So look at the clothing again. There's a sun, moon, 12 stars. Now, again, those are only symbols that point to a true reality. There was a young man about 17 years of age, and his father loved him more than all his other brothers. Matter of fact, loved him so much since he was a child of his old age. He made him a coat of many colors. Who was that person? Yes, and was Joseph a dreamer? He was a dreamer, and his dreams came directly from a revelation from God about really that ended up saving his family, remember? But he had dreams. Now, on one of the dreams, he came to his brother. They were out in the field. His father, Jacob, had sent him out there to bring food or find out where they are. And they saw him coming. And Joseph said to his brothers, he said in Genesis 37:9, but he, meaning Joseph, he said, oh, he dreamed still another dream. And he told it to his brothers and said to his brothers, look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, interesting, the sun meaning Jacob the father, the sun, the moon, Leah his mother, and the 11 stars, now that would be his brother, so Joseph plus the 11 equal how much? 12. Do you see what this is leading to? Okay, so the 12 stars represent, without a doubt, the 12 sons of Jacob, which become the 12 tribes of Israel. So we have to say, okay, who is the woman? Well, the woman is the nation of Israel, which would come about. Amen? Okay, now, we know that from Israel, from the nation of Israel, would come the Redeemer, meaning the Messiah. We know that because Genesis 3:15 was the first promise in the Bible that God gave to Eve after they sinned. And then in Genesis 12:2, God appears unto Abraham and says, I will make you a great nation. Remember? All right, and he also says, Abraham, and through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. That's everyone, Gentile, Jew. And then in Genesis chapter 15, I believe it is, verse 5, God, when he was speaking to Abraham, talking about his seed, he said, look up at the stars, remember, and all that. If you can count them, so shall your descendants be. So the stars of heaven represent the seed, if you will, which would eventually be the nation of Israel. So the woman is indeed Israel, okay? Now, let me give you another scripture, Jeremiah 31:35. Thus saith the Lord, who gives a sun for a light by day, the ordinances, or the fixed order in the heavenlies, the fixed ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar, the Lord of hosts is his name, if those ordinances, the sun, moon, stars, if those ordinances depart from me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Question. Is the sun and the moon and the stars, do we still see them? Yes. Okay, well listen, the Jews are not going anywhere. Do you understand? The nation of Israel is not going anywhere. Israel will outlast every nation on earth. And today, I don't know if you know this or not, I know you probably do, but the Jew loved one today is the purest, the absolute purest blooded people in the world. They have maintained who they are forever since they were birthed by God. Amen? They're the only nation on earth that's ever happened. They're still the Jewish race. They're still Israel, if you will. Now, look at verse 2. So now we know who the woman is. Now, it says, and then being with child, she, meaning the woman, and we have to remember that is now the nation of Israel, cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. Now, I just want to stop right here because when we get to verse 5, we're going to know that the child is Jesus, okay? So, but here, people would say, well, Bill, that's the Virgin Mary. Well, you could say that, and you know, because she has a child, but there's no mention of a father there, you see. And so, yes, she is the Virgin Mary, but that was prophesied all the way back in Isaiah 7:14 that the virgin will conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us, okay? But the promise here, here's what I want you to see. The promise began all the way back in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the first promise that God gave after Adam and Eve sinned, and she, Eve, God spoke directly to her, and she received the promise that the Redeemer would come by the seed of a woman. Now, did Eve eat the forbidden fruit from the tree? Yes, but by God's grace, even though she did that, she produced fruit, a child. Now wait, Cain has already killed Abel. Who was the second child that they bore? Seth. Seth became the godly seed line that would go to the Messiah. Are you following me? Very important. Now, with all that being said, who birthed the child? The nation of Israel did. And that promise was made to them. Remember in Isaiah 9:6, a son is given, a child is given, and so forth. That was from Isaiah 9:6. Now listen, there are those that say, no, the church birthed Christ. No, Jesus birthed the church on Pentecost. Amen? Okay, now we're really rolling now. Let's look at verse 3. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red, fiery red dragon. Dragon is used 13 times in Revelation. It says, and this dragon here, having seven heads, and you could look at Daniel 7:7, but when it says the seven heads, it's speaking of the perfect evil of this individual. And then 10 horns, seven diadems on his head, so he has perfect evil power. And we know when we get to chapter 13, that's when I'll really explain all that. But he's ruling all of the nations and the governments of the world. So the second sign is a great fiery red dragon. Remember, it's a symbol that points to a reality. So to know the text, all we have to do is read the entire context, and it's very simple to solve who the dragon is. Look at verse 9. It gives us the answer. It says, the serpent of old, the devil, Satan, who deceives the whole world. Well, so we know who it is. He does deceive the whole world, doesn't he? He's deceived the world today. Matter of fact, the Bible says that in 1 John 5:19, it says, we know that we are of God, but the whole world lies in the arms or the sway of the wicked one, this Antichrist government system that operates in our world today. So the wicked one, I want you to notice, he is not red. He is fiery red, and that is always in the Bible a symbol of bloodlust and death and destruction and so forth. And that's his nature. That's his MO. John 10:10. The thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus said. Amen? But he said, but the Lord said, but I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. So this is that wicked one. In chapter 9, verse 11, we learned that he was the king of the bottomless pit. And he had a name called Abaddon and Apollyon, which means destruction and destroyer. Now, listen carefully. The devil, we know this, but the world doesn't believe it. The devil is real. He is real. And every death that has ever occurred can be traced from him. John 8:44 says he was a murderer from the beginning. Amen? He is the father, if you will, of sin. He's the father of destruction. He's the father of every cemetery. That's who he is. He is, well, he's a monster, but he's the most beautiful monster in the universe, and I'll talk about that later. meaning his appearance. Now, in verse 4, look what he did. The dragon's tail, it drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. Now, I encourage you to do something, because I would have to do three sermons on this, but I can't. But I really want you to, right here, understand that his fall, this fall of the devil, of Satan, Lucifer, occurred before the temptation in Eden. And I want you to write down these scriptures, and you can read them intently later. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 11 through 17. Ezekiel 28, 11 through 17. Isaiah 14, 12 through 15, okay? And that'll tell you all about that. So his tail drew a third of the stars from heaven and threw them to earth. And the dragon, that's Satan, he stood before the woman, that's the nation of Israel, who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, what are the stars of heaven? If you look at verse 7, it tells you they're Satan's fallen angels who joined him in the rebellion in heaven against God, and they were cast out of heaven along with Satan, or Lucifer himself. Now, what is the dragon, the devil, what is he doing? He's doing what he has been doing since the beginning of creation. He is trying to destroy the seed line that leads to the messianic promise of Genesis 3:15. Let me read that to you. God told Eve, he said, "And I will put enmity, hatred, hostility, war, if you will, between you and the woman," between Satan and the woman, "and between your seed," and then he says, "and her seed." Your seed is a little s. The other one there, her seed, is capital S, meaning that her seed, not man's seed, would lead to the virgin birth, Isaiah 7:14. And we know from, Galatians, 3:6, that seed is Christ the Messiah. Amen? Now, with all that being said, "and he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel," speaking about how Jesus is going to die on the cross. Now, with all that being said, since the very beginning, since Adam and Eve sinned, Satan, even though he's not really mentioned a lot in the Old Testament, he is constantly trying to destroy the seed line that leads to the Messiah, meaning the promises of Genesis 3:15, the Redeemer of all mankind, Christ our Lord. And so the first thing that he did in Genesis, chapter 4, Cain killed Abel, amen? All right, then Genesis chapter 6, what happens? That's when all the fallen angels intermingled with the daughters of men and so forth, and the seed line was trying to be corrupted, and then Noah was found perfect in the eyes of the Lord. So then in Exodus, what happened then? All the children of Israel in bondage there. And what did Pharaoh tell the midwives to do every time a male child was born? Put him in the river, drowned him, and so forth. They didn't do that, remember? Now, with all that being said, we can go on and on. Did Saul try to kill David? You see the seed line there. And how about Haman and Esther? Yeah, it goes on and on. There's so much we could even talk about. Even after the baby Jesus was born in Bethlehem and placed in a manger, and then the wise men who were following the star, and then when they showed up and talked with Herod, and then they said, "Where is the king who is born of Israel? We have been following his star." And what did Herod say? "Oh, go find him. And when you do, come back and tell me so I can go worship him too." He really wanted to worship, didn't he? No, what did he do with the two-year-old male infants, boys, little boys, 2 years and under, not only in Bethlehem, but all around the provinces of Bethlehem? What did he do? He had them murdered. He killed them all. So that was behind all of that, loved one, was the devil. And so think about this. We just had Good Friday. You know, on Good Friday, did you know Satan and his demons, they thought they had won because Jesus is now dead. Amen? But boy, did he fool them. Did he rise from the dead? Oh, and that really, the cross was Satan's ultimate defeat. Not only were all of our sins nailed to the cross, it says in Colossians, all of our sins, past, present, future. Jesus, when he said it was finished, he had paid the sin debt for all mankind. Amen? Okay, now past, present, and future. The only way to be forgiven, though, is to receive Christ. You have to be born again. So with all that being said, the Colossians, it says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, it talks about how he led the demonic spirits, the angelic principalities and powers. He triumphed over them in it. It is the cross. So yeah, there are demons and there are, of course, the devil and so forth, but they are defeated. They don't have the power. The one who had the power over death doesn't have it anymore, does he? Jesus took it. He won it all for us. Now, so with all that being said, here's what you want to understand. Satan today, and he always has been, he is the greatest anti-Semite in all of history. He hates the Jewish race. He wants to wipe them out. He wants to be the God of the earth, meaning the people of this earth. He wants to be God. He wants to be worshiped, okay? And he'll do anything to destroy Israel. And so he wants to exterminate them, every Jew in Israel. He used a Hitler, didn't he? 6 million Jews perished. And when did they perish? Right before they were to return to their homeland for the first time in 2,000 years. Think about that. And so today, who is he using? Iran, Hamas, Hezbollah, you know, people that are against it. The Jewish race is unbelievable. No one has suffered in history like the Jews have. But here's the deal. No one will destroy the Jewish race. No one. Now, look at verse 5. She, that's Israel now, bore a male child who was to rule how many nations? All nations. And look how he was going to do this, with a rod of iron. Now, it says, is child capital in your Bible? Okay, now we know that speaking of deity is speaking of Christ. So here, that is the incarnation. And it says, will rule with a rod of iron. That would be the second coming and the millennial reign of Christ. So this third sign, the male child, there's only one person, and we know who that has to be. It is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? He's going to rule. So despite all of the devil's efforts, okay, Israel still gave birth to the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And Satan cannot stop the second coming. He can't do it. He wants to, but he cannot do it. Jesus is going to come. We're going to come back with him. And he is going to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. That means enforced righteousness, if you will. And that comes from a messianic psalm, Psalm chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. You can read that later. So look at verse 5. Now, he's going to rule with a rod of iron. And her child was what? Now, that was his ascension and his exaltation. And where was he called up to? To God in heaven and his throne, meaning we know Jesus ascended there from Bethany. He rose, the disciples watched him, and he is now seated at the right hand of God. He has all power and authority, heaven and earth, but he was caught up. Now, here's the deal. The child was caught up. Now, there are those who teach, and I understand it, that they teach that the male child is not Jesus, it's the church. It's the New Testament church. And they say that because the New Testament church, is it destined to reign with Christ? Yes. Is the New Testament church, one day are we going to be caught up? That's the rapture. And of course that's true. But the problem with all of that is let's just look at the word caught up, harpazo or harpazo in the Greek. It means to be seized or snatched away and so forth. It's the same word that's used in 1 Thessalonians 4:7 for the rapture or the catching away of the church. It's the same word used when Paul was caught up into paradise, 2 Corinthians 12:2, I believe. And it's the same word that was used for Philip after he had baptized the Ethiopian eunuch. And it says in Acts 8:39 that he was caught up and the Spirit of the Lord has caught him up and he was found in Azotus. So that's the very same word. But here's why this is not the church. It's not the church because the church in Greek is feminine, okay? In 19:7 of Revelation, we're going to find out that we're the bride. Now, so the word here, male child, is not feminine. It is masculine. And the male child, loved one, is Jesus. Very simple.
Well, once again, we've run out of time. But you can hear the remainder of this message on Love Never Fails tomorrow. And we do hope you tune in once again. Now, we always want to thank you for listening to the broadcast. Until next time, may the Lord bless you. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.